This is Grow in Grace, a daily teaching ministry of Palmetto Baptist Church in Greenville, South Carolina. The book of Jonah contains a very important lesson for all of us to learn. God remains in command of mercy and judgment. We can't command or manipulate him to judge or to show mercy. How does Jonah respond when God gives people undeserved mercy? Today, Pastor Sam will conclude a sermon titled, Prodigal Prophet, from Jonah chapter 4. Let's listen together so we can grow in grace.
I want to know your name. I want to know your character. And God says, well, let me tell you, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, Exodus 34, 6 and 7. But there's more. Verse 8. But who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. And Moses quickly bowed his head and worshiped. Jonah says, I have a biblical complaint. I knew that you were going to act on your mercy, because you told us that this was what you were like. And I have no problem with you doing that part, because that's what you should be doing to the people that you made that covenant with. But these people don't have a covenant with you. These people are not in that kind of a relationship with you. So I don't understand why you keep bringing judgment on the people that you made a promise to, and you gave mercy to a people that have no relationship with you. You made no covenant with these people. You have no relationship with you. They have no relationship back to you. They weren't looking for you. They weren't even thinking about you. And you sent me there to show them mercy. And you've been sending me to Israel to send warnings about your coming judgment. How does that work? This is at the heart of Jonah's complaint. It is a partial theology that leads to a deformed view of God. Is God a God of mercy? And the answer is what? Yes. Is he a God of judgment? And the answer to that is also what? Yes. And so here is Jonah, and he cannot figure out how in the world God's mercy and God's judgment got so messed up. The people who should be getting mercy are about to get judgment, and the people who should be getting judgment just got mercy. And Jonah says, I just want to remind you, God, that you have some obligations. And what you have done here does not at all seem to line up with your obligations. And I know, because I'm your prophet, this part of who you are, the fact that you're merciful and the fact that you are just and righteous, are the core of my ministry as your prophet. In fact, the only reason I can preach to your people is because of those two things, your mercy and your justice. And I am having a real hard time understanding how you can be just when you've been merciful over here. This makes no sense to me. Let me ask you a question, or Jonah. Let's let Jonah ask the question. Has God ever done something to you that turns your theology upside down? Lord, I cannot figure this out. I mean, here I am, and I have served you, and I am part of your people. I belong to your church. I have been living for you, and you did this, and it had this impact to me. And here are people over here who don't know you, who don't have a relationship with you, and you've done this for them. Jonah says, you want to know where my burning anger came from? It was rooted in my understanding of theology. Jonah is not operating without theology. It is his theology that has landed him there on the side of that hill. And sometimes the things that you believe about God, and sometimes the convictions that you have about how God should be and what God should do, puts you on the same hill. Which brings us to the third thing that you see here. And Jonah says, now, you won't believe what I did next. I was sitting on that hill, burning in anger. I opened up my mouth and I challenged God. I laid out my biblical complaint, and then I gave God an ultimatum. I issued a bold challenge. And the challenge is in verse 3. Therefore, now, O Yahweh, based on the theology I've just uttered to you, based on your covenant obligations to Israel that you seem to have violated, because you and I both know what these Ninevites are going to do in the next generation. You and I both know that they are going to come and they're going to destroy the covenant nation that you have a relationship with. And if you don't have a problem with that, I do. God, if you can't see how wrong that is, then I don't know what to say to you. And so the only thing I know to do is to try to force your hand to change your mind. You say, well, how in the world did Jonah do that? Well, notice what he says. Oh, Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Now, this is the second time Jonah has looked at God and he has said to God, I would rather die than do your will. Here he's saying, I would rather die than participate in something that is so morally and ethically and spiritually and theologically offensive, that you would show mercy to the very nation that is going to come and destroy the people you have made covenant promises to. I can't reconcile that. And so Jonah takes a play right out of the playbook that Moses wrote many centuries earlier. And there are some radical differences, obviously, but the play is the same. Remember when God said to Moses, Moses, I'm going to destroy these people for their idolatry. They are down there worshiping around that golden calf. Their evil has come up before me. Stand aside. I am going to destroy them. And Moses intercedes for them for 40 days. And he begs God to spare them. And then he comes to the end of all of that, and he says to God, now, God, if you choose not to spare them, don't spare me. If you choose to obliterate your people, which is your right to do as God, if you choose to do that, then I want you to blot my name out. Jonah's taking that same look. He's saying, God, if you are going to have mercy on these people who are going to destroy your people, then I want you to destroy me. And in Jonah's mind, surely God would do for this prophet what he did for that prophet. Because when Moses the prophet stood before God and said those very same words, God relented and spared the nation. And here is Jonah looking at God saying, God, I want you to spare Israel by judging this nation. And so I want you to bring judgment. I want you to change your mind. And if you don't change your mind, then I want you to blot me out. And he had no idea how offensive all of this was to God. Now, you know, at this point in the story, Jonah would stop the action and he would say, now think about what you've been reading. Think about what I've been telling you. This is the second time I've had the audacity to challenge God. This is the second time I've stood before God and I've said to him, either do it my way or take my life. Jonah would say to us, do you see the spiritual arrogance of that? Do you see the self-righteousness of that? Do you see how far my heart was from God's? I stood on that deck and refused to repent. Here I am sitting on the hill, and I'm struggling to repent because I think I know better than God. I am wiser than God. And I know we would never say it like that. We honestly wouldn't. But that's exactly how we feel sometimes. In the private chamber of our own room or in our own heart. And so God is not about to leave his prophet there on that hill any more than he was about to let his prophet perish at the bottom of an ocean. And so what did God do? He pursues Jonah with benevolent grace. And the benevolent grace shows up in a question. God looks at Jonah and says to him, "Do you do well to be angry?" I mean, God says to Jonah this, "Jonah, are you in the right?" I mean, you've been pretty clear that you think I'm in the wrong. Let me ask you, are you in the right? You've looked at my decision to spare the city of Nineveh, and you've decided that it is a great evil. Let me ask you a question. Is the anger that has come up in you because of that great evil, is the anger in you evil? Do you do well to be this angry? What a penetrating question. It's the first of three questions. And Jonah would say to us that every one of those questions was a way for God to begin to stir my conscience. You know, questions have a way of arousing our conscience. Accusations have a way of hardening our will. I mean, think of what God could have said to Jonah. God could have said, "Listen, you are a stubborn, rebellious, hard-hearted, self-righteous, theologically deficient, spiritually arrogant prophet. And this is the second time." And we would have all gone, "Whoa. Jonah, you have your little booth there. I'm actually going on the other side of the hill because I don't want to be around when God responds to what we just saw." But God didn't do that. You know what God did? He reached down into the very heart of Jonah and he said, "Jonah, I want to ask you a question. Is what you're doing, is what you're feeling right?" And you and I both know the answer to that, don't we? We both know that it's not. You know what God is doing? God is opening up Jonah's heart to Jonah. And what Jonah is seeing in his heart is actually a great evil, and he is actually in as much need of mercy as the people that he was angry over whom God had given that mercy to. He needed the same mercy. We saw it back in chapter 2 when he was at the bottom of the ocean and he finally realized, "Lord, your mercy belongs to you and your deliverance comes from you. You own mercy and you own deliverance." And here he is again having the same issue with God. "You may own it, but I don't like it. And I think it is wrong." Now, in fairness to Jonah, Jonah actually was operating off of theology that he felt really strongly about. "Lord, the people who deserve the mercy are the ones you made a covenant with. And I have no problem if a Gentile or two, a pagan or two, wants to get saved and wants to believe in you and get mercy, no problem. If these sailors want to get right with you and you want to show mercy, I have no issue with that. I have no issue with a Gentile getting right with you as long as they become a part of the covenant people. They have to figure out how they're going to become a part of covenant people. They're going to have to embrace Moses. They're going to have to do the dietary laws. They're going to have to do circumcision. But I have no problem if you want to save a Gentile or two along the way. What I have a big problem with is when you take an entire pagan Gentile nation and give them the mercy that you should be giving to your own people." Jonah would say, "You know, every time I preach mercy, the people get judgment, and every time I preach judgment, the people get mercy." And when Jonah would hear mercy triumphs over judgment, he would shake his head and say, "No, mercy annihilated judgment. There is no justice in this mercy." And that brings us really to the very heart of the book, and that is the bitter silence that Jonah responded with. Notice verse 5, and Jonah went out of the city. And he sat to the east of the city, and he made a booth for himself there, and he sat under the shade until he could see what would become of the city. Jonah would say to us, listen, take a look at what I did. I mean, here God is reaching out to me. God is probing my heart. God is helping me to see that what I'm doing is not right. God is trying to help me to come to the place where I can get the very same mercy that I'm ticked that the Ninevites got. And the reason I need that mercy is because the same evil that was in them is in me. But I didn't see it. And I was so angry and I was so set in my opinion that what God had done was wrong, that there was no possible way he should have ever done this, that I went out and I sat on the hillside and I built a little booth and I waited, hoping against hope, that God would value me more than he valued them. Surely he would value his own people. Surely he would value his prophet more than he would value them. And so I was waiting for God to change his mind. And that's where we're going to leave Jonah today. Jonah says, now there's more. There's much more. God is not nearly done. But as we leave Jonah on that hill, how many of us would say, I've got a chair right next to Jonah's? Because of something that God did that I just can't reconcile. Pastor Sam, you have no idea. I have no problem with these people getting mercy or those people getting mercy. On Wednesday night, we're going to have the renewal choir come, and it is going to be a celebration in our midst of the incredible grace of God, the transforming power of the gospel of God, and the beauty of the mercy of God to take people whose lives have been destroyed by sin. And on Wednesday night, we're going to hear that. We're going to see that. We're going to celebrate that. Jonah says, I have no problem with that kind of mercy. That kind of mercy, 100%. The kind of mercy I have a problem with is the kind of mercy that comes to somebody who has destroyed my life. Somebody who has done something so devastating to me that I'm still trying to dig myself out of it. And God, I don't understand how you didn't judge that. I mean, I read the scriptures and I can see that what they did wasn't just a mistake. It was wicked. It was sinful. It was evil. And you gave them mercy. And I am still trying to dig out of the mess. So Jonah, you got any room in your booth? Because I'm coming over. Because I am convinced. Now, somebody asked me, you know, well, praise God, they got mercy. I love mercy. They love mercy. Da-da-da-da-da. But I'm sitting in the booth, and my heart is internally burning with anger because God did something that I just can't agree with. God, do you have any idea? Well, of course you do, you're omniscient, but do you have any idea? Can I just say it? Do you have any idea of how deeply this wound is and what it has done to my kids and what it has done to me or the people that I love? And you're just going to show mercy? I mean, these Ninevites, all they did, they heard one little sermon. They got on their knees and prayed one little prayer, and they got all the mercy. And I've been on my knees begging you and begging you and begging you, and there is no mercy. There's no relief. And I can't reconcile this. I don't understand this. Jonah says, come on over. Get in a booth and wait. Because there's something good coming. So I want to ask you this morning, as we pray, the first thing that has to happen for this mercy to reach you is you have to get honest. I have to get honest about my need for it. Jonah had to really understand that he needed the mercy he was preaching as much as the people he was preaching to needed that mercy. And you may be there. your relationship to God may have grown silent, and it may have been silent for a long time. You may have thrown up your hands like Jonah did and just said, fine, if this is how it's going to be, if you're going to act that way, God, and those are the kind of decisions you're going to make when you and I both know what you've said over here, then I don't know. I don't know what to do anymore. I'm just going to put my head down, and I'm just going to go through life, and maybe when I get in your presence, I'll figure it out, and we'll understand how it all works. But until then, I'm just going to put my head down, and we're just going to go through. I'll be at church when I'm supposed to be at church. I'll do the things I'm supposed to do. I'm going to stay away from the sins I'm supposed to stay away from. But you and I, in terms of any meaningful relationship, we're done. You say, well, do people do that? All the time. All the time. And the truth is, there might be some of us here this morning who are there right now. And Jonah would say to you, listen, come and sit with me in the booth. Would you take that step? Jonah says, would you take that one step? Would you admit, I need to be in that booth with you, Jonah, because that's how I feel? And would you start a conversation with God about it? God, I don't understand this. It makes no sense to me. This isn't right. This isn't fair. Fine. Talk to God. Start the conversation. Even if it starts that way, start the conversation. And while you're talking to God, beware. Be aware. Not beware. Be aware that God is drawing you. He's the one saying, come over to the booth. Take your seat. Go ahead and express what you're thinking and what you're feeling because I already know it. Let's start talking. Because if you will start the conversation, then maybe I will be able to talk back to you. And that's where we're going to get in the last half of the chapter. So there's really good things coming next Sunday, and I hope that you're looking forward to that. But as we come to the end of this, would you take that one step? Would you bow your head? Would you close your eyes this morning? And I want to give you just a minute to listen to Jonah. Because Jonah would say to you, I know exactly how it feels. I know what it's like to sit there and wonder what in the world God is doing. I know, I understand the depth of the struggle. I mean, it was so deep for me, I stood on the deck of a ship and chose to perish. It was so deep for me that I went on a hill and I was ready to die. But the grace of God would not let me go. And the grace of God won't let you go. But it starts with you taking a step and joining me on the hill, acknowledging that this is really where you are. We will never get where we need to be until we start acknowledging where we are. We will never experience the unadulterated joy that comes when we get mercy from God until we realize that we need that mercy ourselves.
Thanks, Pastor Sam. We'll continue this sermon series from the book of Jonah next time on Grow in Grace. Today's speaker, Dr. Sam Horn, is the pastor for teaching and vision at Palmetto Baptist Church. PBC meets at 2730 Anderson Road, Greenville, South Carolina. Join us for our worship service at 9:30 every Sunday morning or connect with us online at pbcpowdersville.org. Grow in Grace is produced by the audio team at Palmetto Baptist Church, also by Ryan Ahrens and CJ Billieux. Join us again next time so together we can grow in grace.